1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Well, Charlie's Angels is going to... seems so ridiculous talking about that after an hour of, you know, George Bush's DUI, and I kick off an hour with, well, that Charlie's Angels is in the theaters, isn't it? But it is. Drew Barrymore says her goal in making the smash 1970s TV show Charlie's Angels into a big-screen action comedy was to give moviegoers such an adrenaline rush that they would have to ride a roller coaster afterwards to match the experience. And we're going to talk just a little bit about Charlie's Angels and its significance, I guess, to the culture and how that, you know, how the movie got made and a lot of other things. We got Margaret Gray with us. And her column, of course, is A Little Bird Told Me. You can see that once a week in 150 newspapers syndicated nationally. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program. And I think that Charlie's Angels is a real coup for Drew Barrymore. As you know, Phil, she is the producer.
Yeah, I wanted. Was she produced that film? So she's moving into the production end of things, huh?
Well, now Drew has done a lot of things. Drew has worked behind the camera on a lot of different films. This film, I think, is a triumph for her. It is a film that tells women that yes, they can take another step closer to realizing parity with men. I think it took a courageous filmmaker like Drew Barrymore to give this the green light, and my hat is really off to her and Cameron for taking a step backward and really allowing a new star to shine in this film.
And who is that?
That is Lucy Liu. Lucy Liu, who was on Ally McBeal. She is an Asian-American actress. The genius, really, Phil, in this is that they didn't succumb to the temptation. And I really don't mean any offense by this, but there is such a temptation to have the obligatory black actress complimenting the white one. Now, you know...
Okay, well, I mean, are you really saying that...
And by the way, Lucy still is on Ally McBeal.
Yeah, but are you saying that, in other words, they're casting these actresses because of their race, or...
Well, Phil, I think you have to balance things out. When you are talking about an audience... And the original concept for Charlie's Angels was two white girls and a black one. And they looked at Vivica Fox, they looked at Vanessa Williams, they looked at Jada Pinkett. I don't know who else they were looking at, but I think Drew Barrymore did the courageous thing that any filmmaker would do.
And all right, well, what is courageous about casting Lucy Liu in this? I mean, yeah, she's an Asian-American actress.
Well, Phil, there's more to it. And let me tell you a story of how this film got made.
And now, I don't want to ask you what your sources are, but you're pretty sure...
This is my opinion, let me put it that way, of how this film got made, but I will say this. I am very, very well connected in the community. You know that. I think a lot of people know that.
All right.
Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz sat down one day. They knew that they were going to be the stars of this film, and they knew that they needed a hit. Now, Phil, I don't want to be unkind, but any given Sunday, home fries, ever after...
What are these?
These are but a few of the bombs that...
Now, let's be kind, okay?
No, Phil, these are the bombs that Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore were involved in. So they looked at their resumes, and then they did something else, Phil. They walked over and took a look in a mirror. And I think they asked the question, do we want men to come see this movie? And if the answer is yes, then what we're looking at in the mirror isn't going to get it done.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore are not good-looking enough to draw...
Why do you need to state the obvious?
Well, are you saying that Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore took a look in a mirror and said...
They literally had a meeting together, Phil.
And they walked over to a mirror?
Yes, they did. It was an exercise, I believe, that Drew wanted Cameron to do, they looked in the mirror, they said, look, we want men to come to this movie. Let's take a good, long, hard look. And my understanding is it took about 3 seconds. They looked, they turned around, they sat down, they ordered lunch.
What, they knew that it wasn't going to be them?
They knew they weren't looking at it. What they were looking at wasn't going to pull men into a theater.
Now, Cameron Diaz, I know, because I hear men talk, a lot of men think she's attractive.
She's got a big nose, she's skinny, she's got a flat rear end. Drew Barrymore, Phil, has been drinking her lunch since she was 10, and that took its toll. And
she's cleaned up.
Yes, I know she's cleaned up. But what I'm saying is they went through a very honest and self-realized process. So they went to the bullpen. They wanted men to come to their movie, and I think they made a courageous decision. They cast an Asian-American woman.
And all right, well, why does the casting of an Asian-American woman then guarantee that men are going to show up?
Are you sure you want to ask that question?
Yeah. Why casting Lucy Liu in Charlie's Angels guarantees that men will show up?
Phil, she's Asian-American, all right? She is an Asian woman. They have the ethereal and timeless beauty. It's very classic beauty. There is the promise of tranquility and peace. Asian women are agreeable. You're not going to get a lot of argument from them. They are the fantasy of most men. And I think Cameron and Drew knew that the sight of the two of them would not support a man walking in, sitting down, and maybe springing a pup tent or a chubby. Because...
All right, can we, you know...
But Phil, you know it's true.
Yeah, but can we grow up a little bit? I mean...
No man goes into a movie theater, sits down, looks at Drew Barrymore, and even thinks about a chubby, let alone feeling one growing in the...
Okay, I understand that, and I may agree with you or I may not agree with you. You're saying that Asian women are the ones that that men want to see on the screen.
I think it was calculated, yes. And you know what I'm talking about. Asian women are attractive to men. Now, you've got Drew Barrymore, alcoholic, spoiled brat, drug addict, the Barrymore name. Cameron Diaz, big nose, skinny. Now, here comes the Asian woman, Lucy Liu, my Lucille. Charlie's Angels will win, Phil, because men are finally getting what they have always thirsted for on screen. To be able to look at a beautiful Asian woman on screen for more than half of a scene in a movie. And I think you're going to see this movie do well.
As the result of them casting Lucy Liu.
As the result of Cameron and Drew stepping back, glancing in the mirror, recognizing that those two faces couldn't get a chub going in the...
Okay, I got it.
You understand?
I got that. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray.
And Phil, you know, I love both of those actresses very much.
I understand that. We're talking with Margaret Gray. She is a writer of a nationally syndicated column, A Little Bird Told Me. She's basically saying that an Asian actress was needed to bring men into the movie theater.
Absolutely, because you had Drew's name.
Now, you know that there are a lot of films.
Well, let's take Coyote Ugly, for instance, Phil. What did they do with that movie? They brought in the obligatory black girl. Now, Tyra Banks, you can do a lot better. Tweety Bird, with the big forehead and the little hair sticking up, I don't think is the answer to that.
Well, forget about Tyra Banks. Let's talk about the notion that Asian women are attractive to men.
They have an ethereal, timeless beauty, yes.
Okay, and they had to have one cast in this movie because you're saying Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz don't get it done. I happen to think that Cameron Diaz is an attractive woman.
What about Drew Barrymore?
I think that I've never seen Drew Barrymore act in anything. I don't think I've ever been to a book. I would like to see her work.
But we're talking about something that you know what I'm saying. You know that I mean, when I say the chubby,
You're talking about sex appeal, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Do they have it?
Cameron Diaz does.
Does Drew Barrymore?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you who does have sex appeal for every white man and black man out there. An Asian woman. The geisha girl, the bound feet, the subservient attitude, the beauty in the face, the almost childlike figure. This is...
Well, that's not going to get me to go see the movie, okay?
Well, what will get you to see the movie?
Probably my wife. My wife is going to want to go see Charlie's Angels. I'd like to see Charlie's Angels, and the fact that there's a lot of action in the movie is going to get me to see Charlie's Angels.
Ah, you have a wife?
Yes, I do.
There you go. You're not single. Ask Craig Taylor. Ask any of the single men that work for you. Craig Taylor grew up in the Philippines. He knows the chub. Gets going once...
Okay, I, you know what? Have her stop with the chubby thing, because it's starting to make me mad. We have on the line with us Margaret Gray. She's talking about the new film, Charlie's Angels, starring Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu. And Lucy Liu, an Asian-American actress, she says, Margaret says, she's going to be the draw. Because white men and black men ain't going to go to a movie to watch Drew Barrymore or Cameron Diaz. They want an Asian woman. I won't say chubby, okay? I'll say something else. They want an Asian woman to look at. 1-800-449-8686. She also said this is a conscious decision that they made after they looked in a mirror and said those two faces ain't going to draw men to a movie theater. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show, talking with Margaret Gray here about the new Charlie's Angels movie, which is coming out. I guess I don't know when, this weekend. Margaret, when is that film coming out?
It opens citywide here in Los Angeles tonight, Phil.
Okay, Charlie's Angels. It stars Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu, who's Asian American. Now you're telling me the reason why men are going to come see that?
No, I don't know why men will go see the movie. I do know that the conscious decision, I feel, was made to put Lucy Liu in this film because Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore are not going to get men into the theater.
Well, what about the action aspect of this, okay? The fact that there's going to be doing a lot of... There's going to be a lot of...
explosions and things?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to do it. I think if you're going to get men to see Charlie's Angels, you've got to have some eye candy. White men and black men will not go see white women or black women. They would much rather see...
Well, you know that's not true. I mean, they'll go see Elizabeth Hurley. They'll go...
Yes, but if they have a choice to see a Chinese woman or one of these Asian women who do bring up a sort of geisha thing in their mindset, they'll do it. And I don't mean to tell you that Drew Barrymore is not talented. I'm not saying that Cameron Diaz isn't talented. I'm saying that those two women... They just don't get it done when it comes to drawing men into the theater. They crack a mirror when they look into it.
You know something? You're speaking as a woman. I don't think... When I look at Drew Barrymore and...
How old are you, Phil?
I'm 48.
Drew Barrymore's 25. Do you really feel you have any right looking at her in terms of sexuality?
I'm not looking at her in terms of sexuality. I'm a married man. I'm saying she's not an unattractive woman. You're saying she'll crack a freaking mirror looking at it?
She's overweight. She carries a lot of weight in the stomach area. Cameron Diaz has got a very big spread nose. That little Asian girl, I think, is going to do a lot for them.
You carry the movie, huh?
I believe so.
Here is Garden Grove on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. I think you're nuts if you think Cameron Diaz doesn't pull. What about All About Mary? What about that film?
Nobody went to see that movie because of Cameron Diaz. They went to see that movie because it was funny.
They went to see Ben Stiller? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I went to see the movie because of Cameron Diaz.
Right, okay, thanks for calling. Here is St. Louis on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I just want to tell you that that lady is putting women back at least 100 years.
And why is that?
She is just... She's judging them by...
Are you saying she? You're talking to me. You don't have to talk to me in the third person.
I'm sorry, but I think you're putting them back beyond... you're not giving women the credit they deserve.
Okay, what is she saying that's putting women back however many years you think that she's putting women
she's
back?
She's judging them strictly by physical characteristics.
Okay,
she's
talking about what will make a man go see a movie.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that they can see women, all women, as being sexy, not just by...
Really? Okay, so like Maureen Stapleton they think is sexy. Darling, we're talking about three young women, okay, and not all women come across as sexy to men, especially movie stars, and especially when you're asking them to put out $8 or $8.50 or however much it is to see a film.
But you're saying that they'll only do that because they've got some old-fashioned notion that they have to be cute and little and
round
and subservient.
You know, I don't mean to be offensive, but... To have an attitude like yours, you must be a dog. And I don't mean to be offensive.
Well, you don't mean to be offensive. You sure were.
You are.
Well, I mean,
and you're also insulting to the two actresses that are great actresses. And
they
and
are fine actresses, but they—you know as well as I do—they would make a freight train take a dirt road with faces like that.
But see, that's your opinion, and I hope
no, it's
I don't
not my
that
opinion.
That's most women.
You have an opinion. I have the inside scoop because I report on this town. The faces on those two women would blind a man. They would turn a man to stone.
Well, I'm afraid that...
They're not that ugly, okay?
That you're not much of a woman.
They're not that ugly.
Look, Ruth Buzzy in a car crash is not going to bring in men, okay? And that's really what you got when you got Cameron Diaz.
Do you really think she's that ugly? Cameron Diaz is Ruth Buzzy in a car crash?
Yes.
It's bizarre.
I'm really sorry to say it, but yes.
All right, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. So we got to have the Asian girl to bring the men in.
That is why they cast her, Phil, yeah. Let me give you an example. After World War II, a lot of American sailors and Marines came back to the United States with Japanese wives. Today, in America, you see a lot of men with Japanese or Chinese wives, and you see either white men or black men with them. The reason is simple. I think the American man, especially the African-American man and the European-American man, are simply tired of women running their mouths. They're listening to women, white women and black women, who won't shut up, constantly running the mouths, oh, boy. And they want a woman who will sit back and very, very quietly receive them sexually or otherwise.
Okay, so what we want is a little concubine, something maybe out of whatever that flower drum song, something out of The Last Emperor.
Whatever. I mean, just a nice, sweet, oriental flower. Asians are subservient. They treat their men with respect. And that's what men want.
Well, this is a man who's happy with his Spanish, German, American wife.
Good for you, Phil. You're in the minority.
Oh, so swell, so you know. Here's Colorado Springs on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is John.
Yes, sir.
Colorado Springs.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this Margaret, I don't, first of all, she's got it all wrong. First, men, you know.
Oh, here we go.
This
when's the last time you actually,
action,
did you go out on a date? Have you been on a date recently?
I'm married.
You're married.
I'm 38, and I'm married to a 28-year-old. And she's a white, American.
A white woman, and you're driven to call a talk show because you can't stand listening to her screaming at you.
Oh, no, no.
So this is your relaxation, calling up a talk radio show.
The reason I'm calling is because I get tired of hearing self-centered people like yourself who think they know everything about everyone and putting a quote out saying that all men, white or African-American, are attracted to Asian women.
They are.
So you're full of it. I am very not attracted to Asian women.
Oh, you don't like Asian women?
What?
You don't like the mystery of the geisha?
I have no attraction to Asian women at all.
Have you ever been to Japan or China?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was in the service and I was in Korea.
Okay, and when you were in Korea, did you ever take R&R over in Japan?
No, when I was in Korea, I was in the Air Force and I didn't go anywhere.
Okay, you didn't take any R&R?
I was on base, I got off base, and no.
And where did you go? Where did you go for your leave or your liberty?
My liberty?
Yes.
To Seoul.
Okay, so you went in to enjoy the Asian women. I just proved my point, Phil.
No, you relax with Asian women.
Have been with Asian women. And
the guy was in Seoul, Korea. Where else was he going to go when he had a pass to get off the base?
He relaxed with Asian women. Thank you.
First of all, I didn't
relax with
Asian women.
All right, thank you.
No,
you can't. You got to let the man say.
No, he relaxed with Asian women in Asian bars.
No. How? Okay.
And
Margaret,
let me ask you a big question. Have you ever been with an Asian woman?
Margaret,
have you ever been with an Asian?
I guess that you just relax with everyone in Hollywood. Then
you've never been with an Asian woman, so you don't really know what Asian women can do. I think that men who have seen the hanging basket, men who have seen the Oriental ball, yes, you don't know. And when you are with an Asian woman, you know.
I have
all right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. I'm getting a headache listening to all this bull crap. Have you ever been with an Asian woman? Do you know an Asian woman? Well, I used to go off base in Seoul. Oh, great. That means you've been with Asian women. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Margaret Gray here about the release of the Charlie's Angels movie. which is going to be in theaters this weekend. It stars Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu, who's an Asian-American actress. And according to Margaret, the only reason why anybody's going to go see that movie, any man, is because they have an Asian woman in the film. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Going to go see Charlie's Angels, Craig? I think I'm going to go see it because it looks good. Margaret Gray is on the line talking about Charlie's Angels. Are you going to go see the movie?
Oh, yes, Phil. I'm going to see the movie. I'm going to review it for my column. And I think it looks wonderful. It really looks wonderful. And I don't mean to say that I don't like Drew Barrymore or Cameron Diaz as performers. I'm simply saying they know which side of the bread the butter is. And they've got to get men. They must get men in the theater. And those two kissers aren't going to do it. They've got to get a Jap in there. Someone that is...
Well, when you say Jap, okay...
I'm sorry. They need to get an Asian actress. They are ethereal. They are mysterious. They have beautiful skin. They transport a man to a beautiful faraway place where the Asian women are subservient... And we'll do the do, and the funky chicken too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I know the song, great.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
You know, yeah, I know the fantasy. I don't know if there's a reality there. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Fort Lauderdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
They knew they had to raise the chub factor. That's why they got her.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Margaret. Are you there?
Go ahead, lady.
I just want to say that I think it's ridiculous that you think that all Asian women are so quiet and shy and subservient. I think that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm saying that that is the fantasy.
Well...
And you know, it's really meaningless to talk to a woman about this because it's really not about you or me. It's about what men want to see.
To prove my point, have you ever watched Ally McBeal? You haven't proven
your point yet.
Well,
okay, we need to pick this up. Okay, what? Anybody got a point they're making here? Let's go. So what are you saying, ma'am? You don't agree that that Asian women are sexy?
Then why do they have her in the movie?
Well, Lucy Liu plays a real hard-nosed bitch on the movie.
Yes, absolutely.
On the show, Ally McBeal.
Absolutely. That's got nothing to do with the movie we're talking about, though.
All right, anyway, thank you for your call. Illinois on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hi, hey, I'm calling from Galesburg, Illinois, and I'll tell you what. I'd just go see it just as long as Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore in there. They don't need any of the Asian women. I think
Drew Barrymore,
American women are beautiful enough.
Oh, she's overweight.
No, she's not.
Drew
I think
Barrymore
you're overweight,
is.
Lady.
Drew Barrymore's about 30 pounds overweight right now.
Well,
and Cameron Diaz is thinking about a nose job after the movie.
Do you know all of this for sure, or are you just, coming up with...
Well, I don't know for sure, but she could use one. Don't you think?
Sounds to me just like that lady is just kind of jealous of her.
No, I'm not jealous of her at all. I think Cameron's a fine actress.
Well,
but I think she could probably just shorten those nostrils a little bit.
But I've been listening for a half an hour, and all you're doing is putting down Drew Barrymore and... Cameron Diaz for this Asian chick.
I said on several occasions I thought that Drew Barrymore was a great film actress and a great producer. I say the same thing about Cameron Diaz. All I'm saying is to get men into the theater, those two faces, you know what they do? They turn a black man white. And
okay, they're not...
I'm a 49-year-old white man, and I'd go see them just for them.
Let me ask you a question. What if you turned around quickly one night and you saw Drew Barrymore's face pressed against the window?
I'd probably open the window and kiss her.
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with him? What's wrong with you? You just heard the man's honest answer. He'd open the window and kiss her.
And what about Cameron Diaz?
I'd kiss her, too, and probably pull her in the window.
You know, I think that's scary. I think that's disappointing.
Well...
Really disappointing. And all I can really tell you... Did you ever sleep with a cousin?
No. No, I never have.
Hmm.
Huh. Thanks for calling. Kansas on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
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 Hello. Hi. Yes, first of all, I just want to say that I think that she should be very ashamed of herself for putting women in the kind of position that she does. I mean, I know that it's Hollywood, but it's not right for her to
What's
be putting
not right?
down. It's
well,
just, well, ma'am, first of all, what do you look like?
I'm very pert. I have nice breasts and a beautiful rear end.
Oh, really? Well,
yes.
so do these women. What in the world are you getting at?
Not really. Cameron Diaz's rear end is flat. Drew
well,
Barrymore.
Hollywood can make any woman look beautiful. She can make.
Well,
you know,
but I think that Drew Barrymore's rear end is a little large. I think that she has some
well, if you want to
double
talk
chin
about,
situation.
If you want to talk about opinions, I think that Drew Barrymore is very beautiful. I would love to date someone like her.
Yes, but I live in Hollywood. You live in Kansas. I think I have a better idea as to what's going on.
Oh, really? You think, oh, now Kansas is...
Wait a
okay.
minute. This is a man who's talking. He's seen these women. I mean, why would we take
yes.
a woman's word for this?
Yeah.
Because I have done a little bit of work on myself. I have very pert breasts. I've got a very firm rear end.
Oh, okay. Okay, whatever.
You know, and I think
we're gonna, like, we're really going to take your word for it. I don't
well,
think
I'll tell
so.
You this. I can take one look at Drew Barrymore's rear end, and I realize it needs a little lifting.
Well,
it might need some compaction.
Ma'am, nobody is perfect. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. That I have
very supple nipples. I don't think that Drew Barrymore does.
Well, guess what? I've got a spare tire around my belly, and you know what? I'm married. Hey,
well, that's all great, but wouldn't
okay?
you like to go to the movie theater and see a very ethereal and mysterious Japanese woman?
You know, it just really makes me mad when you think that people from, oh, gee, I'm from Kansas. I don't know anything.
Yeah, that had nothing to do, Margaret, with the guys from Kansas. He's a man. He goes to the movie.
No, I'm just saying that I see these people every day on the set.
Exactly.
And I see that Drew Barrymore has the double chin. Cameron Diaz, you know, I don't want to break your illusions, but I'm going to have to tell you something that is going to disappoint you.
Oh, well, you've already told me something
no,
that disappoints me.
No, you don't know the fact that Cameron Diaz has a prosthetic eye. She has a glass eye.
Well, that just brings me to the point.
And
I mean,
that Drew Barrymore...
Nobody is perfect.
And that Drew Barrymore used to be... Drew Barrymore used to be a gentleman by the name of Ron Rabinowitz. Are you aware of that?
Wait a minute. What are you saying?
I'm saying Drew Barrymore used to be a guy.
Used to be what?
A man.
Oh.
Wait a second.
Oh, he's laughing.
Okay, then.
Oh, so you still think she's good looking?
Ma'am.
If Drew Barrymore gives you a chub, you must be a homosexual.
Oh, no.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Drew Barrymore used to be a guy named Ron Rabinowitz?
Yes.
You know.
He parked cars over here at the Spargos.
Well,
what about
what?
The fact...
By the sound of you, ma'am, you may sound...
And Cameron Diaz has a prosthetic eye and a fake leg. Now, go ahead and tell me how beautiful they are.
Wait. You're telling us a bunch of stuff here. Cameron Diaz has a fake leg, a fake eye, and Drew Barrymore is a transsexual.
Yes.
And I think that you're high, ma'am.
Okay,
that's what
I see. So you there in Phillipsburg, Kansas... You know more about it than me here in the Palisades, California.
Well, see, basically, that's
right.
what I do because
right.
I work for an internet company. I know.
Well,
all
great.
About
you go
the
online and find.
Where did you find out about this?
On the internet.
Yeah, great. Thank you, sir. Drew Barrymore used to be a guy by the name of Ron Rabinowitz, and.
Yes, and I didn't want to have to say this because I was really beginning to. I was feeling a little sorry for your listeners, but if you're calling me a liar, Phil.
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying that I think your opinion's wrong, okay? Now you're telling me that Drew Barrymore used to be a dude?
Yes, he worked in the commissary over at Fox.
He went from being a dude to a chick, and now his name is Barrymore, huh? What, did they adopt him?
The Barrymore family adopted him, yeah. Gave him the name Drew.
Here's West Palm Beach on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir, hi.
I just want... Speaking of Drew Barrymore being a man, your toddler sounds like she's a man.
You know something? I've had a very rough life. I do smoke some cigarettes, but I'm all woman.
You sure don't sound like it.
Well, what if I said the same thing to you?
Excuse me?
What if I said the same thing to you?
Well, I don't care.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, it's funny that you will make comments about other people, but I feel that way about you. You sound like you're very ugly and very unattractive
well,
yourself.
Well, I am not in the movies, am I? I'm commenting on other actresses and actors.
All right, sir. Did you have a comment about this, or?
I actually think that Cameron Diaz is a very attractive woman.
Well, it shows you where your taste is in your rear end.
I think you're nuts, also.
Did you? Let me ask you: would you feel the same way about Cameron Diaz if I told you that she'd had two rear end lifts?
How do you know that?
No, I'm just asking you. Would you feel the same way?
Yes, I certainly would.
And would you feel the same way if I told you that Cameron Diaz has two prosthetic legs? Well, laugh if you will, but would you feel the same way?
Yes.
Now here comes the big one. And I didn't want to say this on your program, Phil, but I think it needs to be said. Cameron Diaz underwent the first successful head transplant.
Is this a joke?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, wait a second. Don't hang up.
Okay, I just... Obviously, somebody's pulling a prank on me, sir. I apologize.
Cameron Diaz. I believe so.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz had a head transplant.
And Drew, I thought this was a serious show.
I did too. I mean, it is a serious. It is a serious show, and somebody she got through. My producer's fired. Unfreaking believable.
She used to look like Dustin Hoffman. And
yeah, great. 1-800-449-8686 Phil Hendry Show. Show here, and I'm Phil Hendry, and thank you for listening, and don't forget you can order the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD by calling 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-PHIL, and it's $20, $3.50 shipping and handling, Visa, MasterCard, or check, and all of the proceeds, all of the money we raise goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Tomorrow night, our Casino Night 2000, we'll be having that. Our special guest star, a generous and talented and terrific individual by the name of Dwight Yoakam. And even if you're not a country music fan, you've seen him in such movies as Sling Blade. He's also written and directed his own film. He's really a generous man to be a part of our Casino Night 2000 tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Museum of Flying at the Santa Monica Airport. And if you'd like to get tickets, I don't know. Is it too late? I'll give the number anyway. 323-908-0011, extension 102. Although it may be too late. And just a note here about what I've been hearing. You know, last hour I did a little bit of talking about how I don't think Gore's going to win this election. And I heard Gore say something like, Bush is asking the question, are you better off today than you were 8 years ago? And I guess it is the belief of the Bush campaign, or it's the belief of Bush that we were better off 8 years ago than we are today. So I started asking myself about that. In fact, I remember 8 years ago, it was late October, early November in Atlanta. And I lived in Atlanta then. And I'll tell you, I really loved living in Atlanta. This doesn't really have anything to do with living in Atlanta. But was I better off 8 years ago? 8 years ago, at the beginning of the month of November, I was being stalked by an ex-girlfriend, a psycho, freaking weird chick. And so, no, I'm not better off 8 years ago than I am today. I'm way better off now than I was 8 years ago because I was being stalked by this nutcase. And let me tell you something, that doesn't mean anything about Phil Hendry being some kind of a hot item. Just in your life, it may happen to you. You could be anybody. You'll get stalked by some nutcase that you made the blithering idiot mistake of being involved with, and she's calling your house, and she is telling you that she saw you with so-and-so, and she's showing up at your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what was happening to me 8 years ago. So was I better off 8 years ago? No. I was worse off, if only for the fact that I was being stalked by this nut. And I didn't make as much money 8 years ago. And frankly, the radio station that I was working at in Atlanta then sucks compared to the one that I'm on now. The great WGST. Because the one I was working on back then, man, you talk about Squaresville. I'd show up at this radio station. It was like showing up at the old slave plantation. It's the only radio station I ever worked at. They modeled it. They consciously modeled their radio station after a concentration camp for African Americans. Hey, come on over here to White Column. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable, man. And I'd pull in there in my car, and I had this broken-down crap can blazer. And I'd pull in there. I felt like a freaking Negro coming out of the shack going to work for the man. Anyway, I digress. Hell of a town, though. And I used to get off the air, and I'd go over to the California Grill. It was up on Peachtree Street, and they were open 24 hours. And I loved going there because I'd get off the air at like 2 o'clock in Atlanta. So I'd go up in a Buckhead and I would I'd just sit there and eat all night. Or I'd bring a friend with me and we'd sit and we'd have drinks and eat all night. And then on Saturday night, I'd go up to the Churchill Arms there in Buckhead. That was my favorite little pub. I don't know what the place is like now. But I used to go up to Churchill Arms on Saturday night and sit there at about midnight, get off the air at midnight. And I'd sit down and start, quaffing a couple. And I would hang out. Guess who I hung out with? It was the most interesting thing. I would hang out with these air traffic controllers from Hartsfield International, which is Atlanta International Airport. These dudes that would work air traffic control, there was a cadre of them, just about five or six of them, that would go up to this pub after they got off work and just start chewing the fat. And somehow I fell in with these guys. So every weekend I'd be rapping with these cats, right? These air traffic controllers and this big mouth on the radio. Because we all talk for a living. Or had to talk fast for a living. So that was kind of cool. I mean, if I could bring that back, I would. And, on the weekends, I'd get on to MARTA, and I'd go down to the Falcon games, such as they were, such as they remain, such as they are today, not much. And back then, they had a minor league hockey team, the Atlanta Knights. I'd go down and watch those guys at the Omni for kicks. And then I'd go over to Deacon Burton's Grill, and I'd go into Five Points, a little Five Points, and, just look at the freaks. It was great. Only problem I got, I was being stalked by this nutball. So was I better off 8 years ago than I am today? No, you better believe I wasn't. No, thank you, sir. It was scary, man. And then when I finally got loose of her, what else did I do? Well, I met another lady, and we were hanging out for a while, and, we'd go around, a bunch of crap. It was fine. And then that winter, I'll never forget it, started snowing, and then I had to split, and I went up to Minneapolis. It snowed in Atlanta that spring, actually, and then I went to Minneapolis to get away from the snow. Yeah, that's beautiful, Phil. I couldn't have done it better myself. Go to Minneapolis to get away from the snow. Yes, sir! If it wasn't cold in Atlanta, man, it was like, I don't know, when I got to Minneapolis, it was 10 below. Anyway, that's my life. So 8 years ago, and I remember queuing up to vote for Clinton, and man, everybody voted in that election. It was huge. The turnout in that election between Clinton and Bush was enormous. Everybody was there. And I remember I was actually standing in a line that went down the street. That's how many people were voting then. I got a feeling it's going to be the same way this time at bat. I got a feeling. How about you, Craig? I'm asking the wrong guy. Never mind. How about you, Mike? You going to vote? No, never mind. You guys think it's always going to be here, America, don't you? You think it's always going to be here. Are you voting? Yeah, well, I know you will, Melissa. You're a chick. You're a woman. You're involved, naturally. But you two guys just think America always was and always will be. When are you going to vote? When? You going to vote? How about you, Schaefer? Nah, you don't give a crap, because you just think this thing's always going to be here, don't you? Then one day when they park a tank at the end of your street, and there's a guy with a helmet telling you to go back inside, sir, then what are you going to do? Maybe, he says, I'm starting to lead toward going in. Well, just go in and vote. You guys haven't asked me whether I'm going to vote or not. No, of course I'm not. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number for the Phil Hendry Show when we reconvene again here on Monday. Thanks so very much. I love you all. Thanks for the help this week. I'll come back. I'm getting some sleep this weekend.